You've got certainly legions of fans here in Iowa. Can you talk a little about the show that you're bringing to Des Moines? I guess it's November 28th, the day right after Thanksgiving, which is good timing.
Well, it is good timing, and first of all, the Oak Ridge boys are all going to be able to spend Thanksgiving at home with our families, and then we're going to leave out Thanksgiving evening, and we're going to come to Des Moines, and we're going to be doing our Christmas show there. It's called Christmas Night Out, and it, believe it or not, this is our 25th annual Christmas show, and we have performed our Christmas show in Des Moines on numerous occasions in the past, and it, we're back by popular demand, I guess you could put it that way, but we're looking forward to it. It's our Christmas show is a great show. It's the, probably the biggest thing we do every year, and it's really in a lot of ways two shows in one. You get two shows for the price of one. You know, earlier this year we had our first live CD ever called The Boys Night Out, and for the first 40 or 45 minutes we're going to feature songs from that live CD. It's our greatest hits done live is what it amounts to. So you're going to hear 45 minutes of Oak Ridge Boys hits, including Elvira. You know, even though it's a Christmas show, you're going to hear Elvira and Thank God for Kids and Leaving Louisiana in the Broad Daylight and the songs that you expect to hear from the Oak Ridge Boys. Those songs will be there in that first 40 or 45 minutes. Then we take an intermission, and then we come out and we do a complete Christmas show. And we cover just about every aspect of Christmas. We really do. We cover the secular side of Christmas, you know, the fun side of Christmas, the romantic side of Christmas. We have a great time. We have a lot of audience participation. And, you know, our latest Christmas CD is called Christmas Times Are Coming, and there's a song on there called Peter Built Sleigh. So Santa enters the stage riding a Peter Built Sleigh, and it's a lot of fun. We have a Santa segment. We sing songs about Santa Claus. Here comes Santa Claus. Santa has a big bag of toys. He goes out and interacts with the audience, especially with the kids, you know, and we have a great time. And then after the Santa segment, we go into something we just started doing a couple years ago, which has become very, very popular. We have what we call our rocking chair segment. The four Oak Ridge boys sit in rocking chairs in front of a fireplace, and basically we take turns talking about childhood Christmas memories and, you know, what Christmas means to the four of us. And it's really a chance for the audience to get to know the four Oak Ridge boys better. So it's a great down-home segment. During that segment, we sing some traditional Christmas carols. We encourage the audience to sing along with us, and it's just a great segment. And then we segue into the final segment section of the show, which we consider, you know, the most important part of the show. And that's, of course, songs that talk about the birth of Jesus. And that's very important to us. We talk about the real true meaning of Christmas, and we end the show on a very inspirational note. So the whole thing is a total package. You know, the hits at the beginning, after intermission, just about every aspect of Christmas, the secular side, as I said, the fun side, you know, the romantic side, Santa makes his appearance, the down-home rocking chair segment, and then the inspirational part at the end. Just a total package, a great family show, a show that's very kids-friendly. You know, we encourage parents to bring their kids as well. And I think it's a great way for families to kind of spend time together around Christmas time.
Your incredible band has been around more than 40 years, and as you mentioned, this is your 25th annual Christmas tour. My mom is 85 and still very healthy, thank God, and independent. So I ask this with all respect.
God bless her, yeah.
Well, I ask this with all respect. She's 85. You're just 71. So do you see yourself and your bandmates continuing indefinitely?
Well, you know, I think health is the key to our future. I think we have to be realistic. You know, there's nothing in this life that lasts forever. You know, I just lost my mother, you know, about 6 weeks ago, you know, and God bless her. She lived to be 94, you know, and I hope I take after her. but I think we have to be realistic. You know, nothing lasts forever. But I think as long as the good Lord above keeps blessing the four of us with good health, you're going to see us out here doing this, because this is really what we enjoy doing. After all these years, 41 years together now, we still enjoy taking our music live to our fans and to our audience every night. So, and we hopefully when we come to Des Moines, that will be no exception, and we're certainly looking forward to it.
Your audience continues to grow, as you mentioned, parents taking their kids, but it's grandparents taking their grandkids as well. So you have kind of a perpetual fan base. Is that right?
Well, I think, you know, I think you're right. Yeah, we're kind of a group that gets passed down from generation to generation, which is kind of cool. You know, and I think another part of that is the fact that, you know, in the last several years, we have gone into the recording studio. We've kind of reinvented ourselves just a little bit, and we've gone down some different roads musically. I don't think we've changed ourselves, but we've kind of, you know, recorded some music that's kind of relevant to the current marketplace, and I think that has helped as well.
A lot of bands that will go on tour after 40 years haven't been touring as you folks have all along. You're continuing to generate new fans and maintaining the popularity. Do you think there are some reasons you guys have had such longevity in the entertainment world you can talk about?
Well, I think there are some reasons. You know, I touched on one. I think this going into the studio and creating new music, I think, is certainly part of it. But I think first and foremost is the fact that we love doing what we do. We really do. We still, after 41 years, are having fun doing this. And I think that's important. You know, I think over the years we have developed a closeness between the four of us. We've developed a friendship that is second to none. We've developed a respect for each other. You know, each guy in our group is totally different. Each guy brings something totally different to the table. And the four of us respect that between the four of us. And this closeness, I think, is something that's very, very important. We're the best of friends, and I think we're a true brotherhood. And I think that's probably the main reason we've been able to stay together for so long.
You just released your autobiography in the past year or so. Are there a couple of things that you wrote about that you think are surprising to your fans?
Well, yeah. Basically, it's my first of all. I love the title of the book. It's called Elvis to Elvira. You know, and I originally started out just writing a book about Elvis, my experiences with Elvis, and then once I got into it, I realized there was a lot more story to tell. And so basically the book is my story, and I go back to the very beginning, and what may surprise some people is the fact that the first singing that I ever did was as a boy soprano. That's hard to believe. I was about 6 years old, and I was in Sunday school, and I had a very high voice. And I actually had a high voice until I got into junior high school. And in seventh grade, I was still singing tenor. And over between the summertime, between seventh and eighth grade, my voice made a drastic change. And I went back for my eighth grade year. Choir teacher ended up putting me in the second bass section. And obviously, I've been there ever since.
Well, that's a great story. When I was in high school, played in a rock band, and I've got a deep voice, not as deep as yours, but I always wish there would be more of that type of music where I could sing, because none of the rock music seemed to lend itself to my kind of voice, our kind of voices.
Well, that's true, you know, and I became a fan of the gospel quartets, the Southern Gospel Quartets, and that's where they really have some bass singers, you know, and when I sang with Elvis, I ended up working with J.D. Sumner, because I was a part of J.D. Sumner and the Stamps Quartet. And J.D. Sumner is actually in the Guinness Book of World Records as the world's lowest bass singer. He still is to this day. You know, he passed away several years ago, but I was glad I was able to work with him and hang out with him. He was kind of an influence on me, a mentor to me. You know, we spent a lot of time talking about bass singing, and I had a great time, you know, with my association with him, certainly.
And certainly the part of Elvira, you're talking about Elvira a moment ago, your section of Elvira with the Papa Mau Mau part has got to be one of the most recognizable in music. Would you say your voice is recognizable because of that line?
Well, I would say that's certainly part of it. I remember, you know, the song was written by a gentleman named Dallas Frazier, and we used his version of that song as the demo, and he actually wrote Papa Mau Mau into the song. So it was there, but Ron Chansey, who was our producer, you know, and produced most of our hits over the years, it was his idea for me to do that Papa Mau Mau part. So I just took that Papa Mau Mau part and I kind of adapted it to my way of doing things and to my, you know, my style. And I guess it kind of worked out okay, because, you know, even to this very day, you know, believe it or not, to this very day, you know, that song is still one of the top songs in karaoke bars, and people still want to get up there and try to do that Papa Mau Mau part along with me.
Very nice.